For those of you that don't know me, my name is Matt Lincoln. I'm the youth pastor here. So if it's your first time here, welcome. And it's a good day because youth pastors don't tend to speak as long as lead pastors. My youth, they only give me about 20 minutes, and I can't even listen to myself talk for 20 minutes, and I get bored. So this will be quick, so stay with me. Also, if you've not heard me speak before, there's a certain style that I like. I'm going to tell you guys three things that I want you to know, and then I'm going to tell you the fourth thing, which is what I want you to do with it. So if you're taking notes today, and it'll be up on the screens. It'll say number one, number two, number three. Write those three down or text them to yourself or Facebook them, Instagram them, tweet them, whatever. Excuse me. And then the number four is the most important. So when I was growing up, my mom, she would be absolutely tired of us by the time summer came along. So she would ship us out to Spokane, Washington. She was done. So she gave us to my uncles, me and my brothers, my cousins, and we would go there. And my uncle owned thousands of acres of land. And on that land, it's a ranch of horses, cows. We had, excuse me, there was a full, huge, giant lake. At least it was huge to me. And you can in the lake, you could see the mountains. It was awesome. But we worked really hard. So we would bale hay. So we take these big old hooks, and you throw them on hay, and you throw them up on this truck. So it wasn't like 2,000 whatever, right, where you got these big trucks doing stuff, man. Child labor. Like, we were throwing 45-pound hays up. But we got pretty big. It was great. But imagine young 12, 13-year-olds doing this for 4 or 5 hours a day. And then after that, we'd go, and we get to play in the ranch. So it was a lot of energy going on. We did a lot together as brothers and as cousins. But when we were at home, we didn't spend all of our time together because, you know, we did things like play video games. Yeah, we had video games back when I was a kid. It was called Atari and Nintendo. But we had it. All right, so we'd have friends, and so we weren't together all the time. But on the ranch in Spokane, we were together all the time. And my brother, Dave, and I hope he's watching this right now, he would get on my nerves badly. And he knew just how to poke my buttons. So I just wanted to get away from him. So I got out on the canoe and I went out in the middle of the lake, and I just had one paddle. It was a wooden paddle, so it was pretty heavy. And so I'm paddling, and I'm done. I'm tired. I had my me time. So I'm starting to head back in, and this rock comes whizzing by my face. I'm like, what in the world? And I look, and there's my brother like this, just this little smirk on his face. And he's chucking rocks, dirt clods, everything you can think of. And I'm like, knock it off. I'm going to fall in the water. He's like, good. Nonstop. So I thought it would go away. And I'm like, no, seriously, stop it. And this was about, I don't know, it was about 30, 40 yards out. And I'm paddling and I'm dodging. I'm like, seriously, stop. I'm serious. I'm getting agitated. I'm getting amped up. He's like, no. He keeps throwing it, right? And I'm like, I am going to kill you. He goes, you can't kill me if you can't get to the shore. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So just this rage starts coming inside of me. And I'm just like, I have this oar, and I just look, and I'm like, aah! And I take it, and I chuck it. Whoof! And this thing is, whoof, whoof, whoof. And he's looking at it. He's like, and the thing, I'm not even kidding, curves all the way around, takes him off his feet, boom, hits the ground, knocks him down, knocks the wind out of him, and he is just going, aah! I can't breathe! And I look at my hands, and I'm like, aah. And I hear in my head, welcome to the dark side. So I got in a lot of trouble. Had to spend the next day and a half by myself because I was too dangerous to be around the rest of the kids. I had to call my mom. And my mom's like, you have to love your brother. Oh, I love to hate him. That's what I love to do, Mom. No, you need to learn to love your brother. And so I remember in that moment thinking to myself, how do I love my brother? How do you even create that? I hate him so much, I can't. It's not possible. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about where does love come from? How do you get it? And so we're going to start in one scripture here, 1 John 4:7, and this is where we're going to start our journey here. It says this. It says, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. So we break that up. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God. Stop. Now let's take out the child of God because there's an and in there. Anyone who loves knows God. This is your number one. So write this one down. Anyone who loves, comma, knows God. Every time you feel love, every time you have that emotion well up inside of you, it's a DNA stamp that God placed inside of you. You can't see it. You can't touch it. A surgeon doesn't open you up and go, oh my gosh, look at all that love. That doesn't happen. You can't put your hands in it. It's just there. It wells up. In fact, when I first started dating my wife, the first time she did this, it freaked me out. But she grabbed my face and she goes, oh, I love you so much, I want to eat your face off. I'm like, that's freaking weird. It's not like sleeping with one eye open. But now I can feel that with my kids. I look at them and I'm like, oh, I just want to eat their face off. They're so cute. I love you. It just wells up inside of you. So you can't touch it. It's just there. It's a DNA stamp from God. You can't deny it. You can't suppress it. So Yvette and I, we go to New Orleans. And we're walking through the shops. I was there for a training. I brought it with me. And we go in to this one shop, and there's a bunch of paintings and artwork and all this great stuff. And we didn't really see anything that we liked. But as we're walking out, this guy walks up to us, actually walks up to Yvette, and goes, oh my gosh, I love your eyes. They're so beautiful. My sister has the same eyes. I love my sister. And it was that moment that I realized this dude was lit. For the adults, that's intoxicated, under the influence. That's what that means. But he was lit. He was on all the drugs, all of them. So we're like, oh, okay, oh, thank you very much. That's awesome, great. We didn't see anything we liked. We started to walk out. And then Yvette looks down and goes, oh, my gosh, that is amazing. And so this guy, he looks at it and goes, oh, I just finished that. Here, you can have it. I don't believe in religion. This is the picture. So this guy, it was still wet. He had just finished it. This guy, high as a kite, maybe bored, decided to draw the face of Jesus because he doesn't believe in religion. See, he has love in him. He has all the emotions that makes us human. You can't suppress the love of Christ. You can't suppress it. We all know it's there. It's what makes us so different. It's what makes us non-robotic. I'm sure some of you know some people that don't show or share a lot of love. They're a bit robotic. The people that have more love, you can really just see it in everything that they are. But what do? In our own arrogance, we say, I decide who I love. I decide who I allow to love me. I created love. I own love. The love comes from myself. You don't decide who you love, how you love. God decides. You didn't create it. It didn't come from you. God created it. Every time you feel that, I want you to think to yourself, that's a DNA stamp from God. And because of that, you don't get to use love, just like you don't get to use God, ever. Look at 1 John 4:8. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God, love. Love, God. Same thing. How do I know that God is love? Just by looking at the world around me. Here's all you need to know right here. Check this out. Cocaine, alcohol, crack, Jesus. I don't know what other proof you need. It's all right there. Some of you are like, did he get permission to put those people's faces up there? No. No, I didn't. Number two, we're flying. I told you, we're flying. If I don't keep moving, half our youth are going to be out of here. I'm going to just walk out. I got to keep moving. Love has no fear. Love has no fear. 1 John 4:17 says, in this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. I'm driving down the 101 from Eureka, California, down to Santa Rosa, California. It's a long drive, and as I'm driving, this car in front of me veers to the left, starts to go off the road, overcorrects, right off a cliff. It's a little bit more steep than 45, starts flipping end over end. Stuff is flying out of it. About 2 football fields down. Slam my brakes, run down the hill, the car's on fire. The girl in the car, her name is Christina. She's screaming. She's stuck. She cannot get out. And as I run to the car, I can feel the heat from the car. And it's coming up the engine very, very quickly. So I reach in, I grab the seatbelts, and I just pull, and they just snap. Out of place. I grab her, and as I pull her out, the flames fill up the entire car. So most, I did not know that something could burn that hot. But in that moment, it wasn't that I was brave. It was just that I loved. When I was younger, I just hated. I just wanted to kill my brother, right? I was still growing in my faith and understanding what love was. And over time, I started to understand this love-God relationship. And so I was willing to put my life on the line because it's another human life and because I love. That's it. Because if you're afraid, then you're just missing out on life. I want to be very clear about something. And if you haven't been listening to anything else today, I want you to hear this right now, okay? Nobody's getting off the planet alive, okay? No one's getting off alive. Your body's going to die, but your spirit lives forever, forever. So you have a choice. You can live with God here and now and with God there forever. You can live without God here and now and without God forever. You can live with love here and live with love forever. You can live without love here, or you can live without love forever, and you can. God, love, same thing. You don't get a choice. Why would Jesus Christ willingly come down and give up his body? Because he had no fear. There was no fear. Why did the disciples all do it? Why did the disciples willingly give up their body? Because they knew they live forever. They knew the big picture. And they all did this because, number three, only love revives. Only love revives. See, we try to revive ourselves with spa day and I like spa day. It's fine. It's cool. Although, I'm totally going off notes right now. One time, we did the tandem spa day thing where you get a massage, you know, with your wife. I didn't like that. It was weird. It was awkward. I don't know if you like that. It's fine. But I didn't like that. Anyway, so, okay. So, we try to revive ourselves, lift ourselves up with things like spa days or manicure days or pedicure days. Try to get more rest. Oh, you know, I'm going to take an extra week of vacation. I'm going to go here. You know, maybe if I just made more money, I'd have more rest. If my job just demanded a little bit less of me. You know, if I had a better partner, it would be so much better. My partner helped me. If I had a better girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, my life would get so much better and I would feel better and I could just be where I want to be. That will revive me. But then when that doesn't work, what do we do? Shortcuts. The next pill, the next thing to help us feel better. Guilty. When I was 17, me and my brother, very busy schedule. Went to school, some part-time work. training, lifting weights. For those of you who don't know, having big muscles is very important for young men in their teenage years. It's a very serious business, okay? We were no different. So we decided that we were going to buy an electronic muscle stimulation device. Just came out. I don't even know how we paid for it. I can't remember. We were lifeguards, so we like saved up a lot of money. Like, oh, we're going to be huge. All the girls are going to want us. It's going to be great. So he put them on first, put them on his arm. We're testing it. Now, the ones today are safe. Like, they've learned some things, right? So they're a little bit safer. The one we had was first off market, like right out of the gate. And it had dials, 1 to 10. For how intense it is and how long how long it lasts. So, I love my brother. I let him try it first, puts it on his arm, like, oh. I was like, wow, that really hurts. Like, okay, put it on me. He goes, well, let's put it on both your biceps. Same time. That should have been my first hint that something bad was about to happen. So he puts them on both my biceps. And I'm like, let's just do three, like three. It's the test. It's my first time. It's like, yeah, three. Turn it to three. And there was a button on the side that you pushed it. And when you did it, then it started. I'm like, he goes, yeah, ready, go? Ready? Yeah, go. And right before he hits the go button, he goes, whoop, whoop, 10, go. Just stop, turn it off. And he's like, ha! Both my biceps twitched for a week. I guess that was payback for knocking them with the oar. I don't know. But we just look for shortcuts and everything, right? So I will tell you, I have found the secret to long-term revival of spirit, mind, spirit, body, and mind. Here it is. The revival, reviving other people's life, revives your life. When I had saved and pulled Christine out of that car, I wanted to tell the world. I was on this high. I was like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. I want to tell everyone. I'd stay up all night telling people. But that went away because you can't save lives all day long that way. And then later when I was in my 20s, I was working and I started talking to this coworker. And she had not really heard or been involved or been in church or community or understand Jesus. So I started to share the gospel with her. And at work, I ended up sharing the gospel with her, and in my 20s, going and baptizing her in a river nearby with some friends. And I was on cloud 9, and then I started to watch her life change over time. It filled me up. It filled my spirit. Some of you are now going, wait. Are you authorized to baptize someone at 20-something years old? Amen. Yes, I am. So, oh, by the way, I told you already know God. You know God because you love, right? So you all know God. I just gave you authority to go baptize. We just, everyone here is a Jesus follower now. I don't know what the numbers are that Josh has ever had with turning everyone to Jesus, but it just happened. Everybody here now loves Jesus, knows Jesus, and has given their life to Jesus. It's done. You already know Jesus. Go out and make disciples of nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Done. I'm out. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, follow Jesus, okay? That's what you're supposed to do. Follow Jesus, learn about Jesus, go out. But that's the trick. That will revive you. So you got to find that place where God has gifted you. There is power in that. God has given you a gifting, something. All of you are a little bit different in how you use it. I've been in the work world, all these different retailers that I've worked with my entire life, and that's where God has me, and that's where I'm doing things. And I'm trying to get myself fired, but I can't get fired. I keep trying to tell people about Jesus, and they keep me there. I have no idea why, but that's where I'm supposed to be right now. So you're somewhere right now where if you're not telling people about Jesus, you're not doing your job. And you are losing out on being revived. And you're just going to go find the next thing or the next thing or the next thing that's going to make you feel better. But it will never, ever happen until you tap into that love, the love that God's already put inside of you to get to that next level, to change lives, to make Jesus proud, to look down and go, there's my child right there. Yeah. Yeah. We saw it earlier with the skit, right? So pride, lust, addiction, depression, drugs, all those things just keep weighing them down, weigh you down. The one thing that lifted and took it all off was Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. There's no spa day. There's no vacation. There's no significant other. There's nothing that will revive you permanently like Jesus Christ. Look at Psalms 19:7. The instructions of the Lord are perfect. What's it say? Reviving the soul. I'm going to read that one again. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Let's go to Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So now what? What do you do? What was number one? Anyone who loves knows God, right? Love has no fear. Only love revives. Number four, live in love. Live in love. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. I want to read that one again because this, I don't want you to brush past this one. I don't want you guys to miss how much wisdom is in this statement right here. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. You live in love, you live in God. First in God is the most important key piece right here. If you try to love other people before you love God, you are going to fail miserably. God has given us this piece of love so that we can feel him and know him and be a part of him and understand him and have that inside of us. But you're only given enough love to love yourself. Until you tap into God, you will not truly tap into unlimited love. I'm going to go off notes here because I just remembered something that I want to share. I love when God gives me stuff. It's cool. We had Joshua. My wife and I, you guys know I have Matthew. He's older. And then we had Joshua. And as Yvette got pregnant with Nicholas, I remember one day she was crying to me. She's like, I have so much love for Joshua and Matthew. There's no more love. How could I possibly love Nicholas as well? There's no more. Just want to bleach your face off. And then we have Nicholas, and she's like, oh my gosh, there's more love. It's limitless. It's limitless. But you have to tap into God for that. You got to know God, or you're going to be stuck with just loving yourself. And nobody really likes hanging out with people who just love themselves. We all know somebody like that. They're not very fun to be around. But remember, the thousands, the crowds, they were attracted to Jesus because of his love, healing, and kindness. Thousands and thousands would come because they felt that from him. They saw him. He was just so much love and kindness. If people aren't attracted to your love, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. There is an amazing attraction to someone that just gives and shares love openly to all people because it's given by God. There's power in it. People notice you. And I told you before, there's no fear in love. So when you try to fit in, when you try to be popular with what everyone else is doing, that's fear. Because it takes God's love to have you step out and be noticed, to be different. Every one of you that just decides, I'm just going to fit in and be popular, that's fear. It's not love. Now, if you're popular because of your love and inclusion and because you bring everyone around and you don't judge people, you just love on them and point them to Jesus, then that's attractive. Thousands of people came to Jesus because of love. So how do I make my love attractive? How do I live in love? I'm going to leave you with this scripture. And I have never used the Message translation, but when I read this, it really simplified it so much that I'm like, I have to do it. I have to use it. So if you look at Romans 12:14, and it's up on your screens, we can't make it any more simple than this. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. So three things I shared. One, I want you to do, live in love. Anyone who loves knows God. Love has no fear. Only love revives. There's no shortcuts, guys. There's no shortcuts. Only love revives. And live in love. This is your key to eternity in love in God. Everything we did today makes no difference whatsoever at all. If you don't take the words that I just shared with you, think about it, resonate on it, and ask yourself, what are we going to do differently? So if you can go ahead and stand to your feet. You're not going to want to, you do not want to miss what's happening next. You do not want to miss what's happening next. This is the moment that we lift our spirits up to Christ in love. This is the moment that we open ourselves up, we rip open our chest, and we say, I am going to live in love, and I am going to be filled with love. I'm going to be filled with God. So stay with us. Worship in this moment, in this song. Don't pay attention to anyone else around you. This is between you and God. This is your opportunity to be revived. This is your opportunity to be filled. This is your opportunity to be loved by Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity with God, so don't miss it. Worship with us right here now.